tell it to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh. Let's peel away the layers and focus on you. What's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
Pleasant good afternoon. It's a Saturday afternoon. Bim, boop, 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 boop. That's right, I'm ready today. I know what I was ready for when I come inside here, but anyway, y'all can find out what I find out about. In a few minutes. It's been an interesting week. Let's see what I did this week. What did I do? Oh, I met an interesting lady. See, tell it to Stanley was on the move. Hi, Miss Jackie. You know who you are. Miss Jackie did make me feel like I was a superstar, boy. I ain't telling you a word, a lie. She made me feel like I was a superstar. You only checking for tell it to Stanley, but Miss Jackie made me feel like a superstar. I am here, and I do have, I put it up as guest, but I know you as guest slash co-host. And in studio with me is Mr. Frankie Camille.
Good afternoon. So good to be here today.
All right. Okay. Well, before we get into his story, I am here. I'm here looking through the newspaper, looking through the Guardian, just looking at things that happen. Well, normally we have all kind of newspaper in here. You only see Friday newspaper. Dwight, for how you like row and carry on, where are all the newspapers, Dwight? I calling you out on here. Where are the newspapers? But anyway, I see here with three F&Ms among those who won't get their $400 back. I see my student, my life coach certification student here, Heather McDonald. Hey, Heather, and some of you would know Heather. Heather has hosted the show for me. She's amazing. And she did. Now, she's just not amazing because she did my certification. Although, listen, star quality. And this is my shameless plug. If you are a helping professional and you want to take it to another level, definitely come on down to Eve's Journey Life Coaching Institute. I must say that most of my certification students, they are doing big things. Like, they out there. They out and bad. I mean, amazing women. And actually, I have one or two men who... Frankie, how come you ain't never signed up for my program now that I think about it? You was doing everything else.
I didn't know about it.
You didn't know about it?
No, ma'am.
But the first time you and I met was at school.
Yes.
I was a speaker there. Things to tell it to Stan, you do, you know. I know most.
You need to tell me I need a discount as well.
You see? Boy, I tell you, boy, this... Boy, Bahamians, boy, y'all always want one discount, man. Always want something off, man. Come on. Anyhow, what else I see in the papers today? I see, well, this was yesterday's paper, and if you didn't get it, it's still news. Young Bahamian scientist wants to better the Bahamas. All right. All right. Hopefully, she's going to come back and make a difference. Because it always surprises, well, not really surprises me, but boy, anyhow. But persons come back, or there are even people who are sitting members of parliament, and they went to college. They got the same training as people away. They know how to, you know, they know about energy. They know about things. They know about science. But then somehow I see things would change. I don't know. My light was off this week. Yours was off, Frankie?
No, thank God.
No, but man, listen, and I was laughing at my friend yesterday, and literally like 60 seconds after that, out, off. I don't know. I went to school in Oklahoma for 4 years, and I kid you not, the only time the electricity has ever been off was when they had a tornado. That was the only time. But anyhow, let me see what else we got in the news. Yeah, something else I saw. Man denies unlawful sex charges. Boy, this a whole lot of sex charges. That and accidents, a whole lot. So many things happening. And then, guys, something happened today when I came to you. And let me tell you all now, because Mr. Frank liked to say that I do Brittany bad, but see, y'all don't know. y'all don't know what Britney's do to me. Okay? And let me tell y'all now, just now, before Mr. Wells left, I was waiting. Let me tell y'all, she didn't notice. I was sitting there looking at my clock, right? Looking at my watch. And I was like, I want to see if she let him go over the hour. Because if I go, when I go over 2 seconds over that time, they'll be hell to pay. They'll be hell to pay. Yes, Brittany, yes. So, Brittany, come inside the studio with me for 2 minutes. So, guys, I came in, and let me tell you, I was all set to do Brittany in today. I kid you not. I was ready for her because I was like, you see, she didn't even send me the recording. Don't mind, I forget to download the recording. Y'all don't worry about that. But I was like, she didn't even do this. And I waiting on Brittany. I could get her good today. And then Brittany drops a big bomb on me, y'all. Y'all ain't even gonna believe this. Brittany said today is her last day.
Hello.
That's Brittany, guys. Brittany does exist. Brittany, yes. Today, last day. And it only took us over 30 years to get used to each other.
Mind you, I'm almost 27 and it still feels like more than 30 years.
Brittany, now, come on now. Brittany, you think you was a walk in the park, eh?
I know I'm not a walk in the park.
Oh, you're aware of this?
But you ain't a stroll on the beach, is it?
What? I am not. Brittany.
You just said you never download your shows.
What?
I got a prep from the lovely DeAndre Carter right after you.
Oh, lovely DeAndre. And don't think I didn't hear too when Mr. Wells walk out. You think I was sitting, I listening. When he walk out, this was Brittany. Mm-hmm. Frankie. Good show. I say, this one never tell me no good show.
It was his very first show on his own, and I was trying to encourage him. You know your show good.
Well, you think I don't get love up, eh?
I just love you up.
No, you don't. Sometimes. Anyhow, what has it been like working here? Has it been, remember the white listening?
It has been memorable. I have learned so much, and my God, it has been memorable. And sorry, as you can see, I'm behind the scenes for a reason.
Okay, how long have you been here?
I've been here for about 5.5 years. I started in November 2020, mm-hmm. in my senior year at the University of the Bahamas.
Okay.
I was doing a medium job. The eye opener, Don Sargent, he came to me and said, I have an internship opportunity for you. Would you like to become a producer for the weekend shows? I said, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Sign me up, please.
Right. And so, the rest is history, eh?
Yeah, I trained for like 2 weeks under our sound engineer, Wally.
Okay, well, you know, Wally's the best. Wally's the greatest. Yes. Yeah.
He really trained me very well.
Okay.
He taught me how to work destructive because producing is very multifaceted. You have to do multiple things at one time. And he taught me very well how to work destructive because people are going to walk in, they're going to be talking to you, and you still have to pay attention to the station.
Right.
Because people need breaks. They be asking you things.
I be asking things.
Brittany, you can play this soundbite for me, please.
That's right. And last minute, too.
Very last minute.
That's right.
Can you alter his voice for me, please? Thank you. Not that deep, please. Thank you.
Yes.
Very last minute, too. So I had to learn how to pitch shift on the spot.
Okay.
I'm not a stranger to pitch shifting, just not on the spot.
But you've navigated, I think you've navigated this job very well. And I think, you know, I crack in a joke about it took us 30 years or whatever, but at first, I'm sure Brittany was like, this woman here, ain't no good. She probably still saying that. And I'm saying the same thing.
Mine isn't either, so that's okay.
Yeah, but I think we learned how to exist in each other's space.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, without being offended.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for sure.
Yeah, I had to learn that. Mm-hmm. I had to learn that with you.
I'm sure I know I have offended you numerous times. With unintentionally. I wasn't intentionally trying to offend. I was trying to be polite, but sometimes my tone little do.
I think, but you know, I think the worst though is me. That is hurt my feelings.
That's not personal. I just don't think I'm talking to anybody.
That. Yeah, I realize that. Yeah, uh-huh.
I don't want to talk to my mom either.
Speaking of which, I feel like I know your mommy too.
You sure?
I know, I don't know, but I mean, I feel like I know what mommy had to say, but you live in the Guardian.
She about to find out.
Mommy doesn't know that you leaving?
She listens to the show.
Hi, mommy.
Hi, mommy. I am so sorry. Please don't ring my head off when I come home.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we want to wish you well. I know that you're going to do well. You know, we've worked together outside of this.
Yes, we
have. And, you know, and yeah, I came in, oh, Brittany, you could be working with me again in December. But, you know, so you're very hardworking, so I know you're going to be amazing.
Thank you. And producing this show has been wonderful.
Really? What you like about telling it to stand your show?
You know, Zinus, because it makes a very good show. You force, in a good way, you pry information out of people that makes the show interesting. I always talk about the shows where you interviewed that lovely lady who an unhealthy marriage.
Oh,
as
okay.
As well as an unhealthy church.
Yes, yes, yes.
Her story was so interesting that it took 3 shows to cover it.
Yeah.
And how my mom and I were sitting, testing each other through the entire show, completely in awe. Like, just completely
that was the, you think that was one of your favorite shows?
Yes, because, and mostly because of the way you navigated it. You asked all the right questions, and every time she brought up something that could be interesting, you would step in and be like, hold on, can you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah,
I need you to elaborate on that.
In the words of my daughter, this is what my daughter says all the time. Just the other day, I was asking my daughter some question about someone, and she's like, I don't know, mommy. And I was like, why you don't know? And she says this all the time, mommy, only you want to ask people all their business.
To make you feel better, you're not the only one.
Good.
But I will say, you are much better at it than some of the people I know.
Why, thank you.
You make people want to open up. I think that makes what makes you not only a great host, but a great life coach too. So being a great coach, please hit her up.
Wait, hold on. Let me put the icing on the gravy right now. On the cake. Hold on. Frankie, me as a motivational speaker, how am I?
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Because we didn't meet that, how long ago? That's many years ago.
Yeah, it's about 4 years ago.
I was just going to say, man, you sure that
three,
was...
3 or 4 years.
That was before the pandemic, though.
That's right after the pandemic.
Oh, right after. That's when my girl was the principal there. Yeah, Janice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, once again, I want to say thank you for everything, Brittany. It has been amazing. And yes, we have each other's numbers. And of course, right, you know what is going on in December. I ain't saying it out here, but
yeah, of course.
You know what is going on in December. So I want to wish you well. And I want to say thank you, too, because a lot of times people don't get me, too. They don't see me.
And I would like to thank you for keeping me awake every single weekend. I mean that as a compliment.
This show has
really forced me to engage and think and really consider other people's perspectives. There have been times where I texted the show anonymously.
I ain't nobody number in the Guardian phone. So
I will say what the texts were, but you forced me to think. And you really force me to consider other perspectives more than I already do. Because you've brought in people from walks of life that I didn't even know existed. And you brought in hot dog vendors. You've brought in college students.
I know.
And like, you literally be finding people on TikTok and you sweet-talk them into the show.
That's right. I be stalking people.
And that's fine. That's what makes the show good. It's not boring.
Thank you.
You never know who you're going to get.
Thank you. See, there go my daughter right now. See, my daughter say, hello, mother. Uh-huh. Okay, well, once again, thank you so much.
Yes.
And I know we'll talk soon.
Yes.
All right.
I'd love to stay for the rest of the show, but I'm still a producer for the next 3 hours. So
that's right.
I need to get back to my seat.
I was just going to say, if you send my things, but to see it come true. Okay, thanks.
Thank you for tolerating my nonsense. Have a great show.
Thank you. Okay, guys, that's Brittany. Brittany does exist. You know, I'm always calling Brittany name. Because Brittany be doing me bad. Now I'm going to have a new dude. I don't even know who the producer is going to be. And I am very upset with Dwight. Because Dwight, you and I spoke. You could have prepared me for this. You didn't even tell me this. Anyways. Yes. But anyway, back to Tell It to Stania, guys. In studio with me, I have Frankie Camille, and yeah, Mr. Camille would be someone who I would have met many years ago. He came on the show, was it this year or last year?
Oh, this year.
This year, early in the year. But we didn't get a chance to kind of talk about you and your journey. And so, you know, it's July. It's in the month of independence, by the way. This is my baby birthday month. And guess what? My baby, if she hear me calling her a baby, my baby, my daughter, is born on July 10th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's my grandmother's birthday, too.
Independence baby.
Yeah, she's an independence baby. But I thought it would be good to hear your story because, you know, you had some challenges. You had some obstacles. And, you know, people always talk about how it's so hard to make it.
Yeah.
But you're making it. And once, while I was on Facebook, I saw the post that you would have made about, you know, building your home, building your house. And you know, and it warmed my heart. It really did. So I wanted to bring you in because, like I said, people talk about that it's so hard to make it. It's so hard to do this and all this stuff. And I invited you here because I want people to, just as I said a minute ago when I told Brittany, thank you for seeing me. I want people to see you.
Yes.
Because I don't think we always see each other. We think that we're so different from each other. And believe it or not, guys, we are more similar than we care to believe. Even people of different races. Mm-hmm. I remember in college, my white female friends, and I've said this before, you know, I only got one story, so I could only say the same things again. The only differences that I remember was they have to wash their hair every other day. I could wash my hair once a week or once a month or once every 2 weeks. They perm their hair and perm makes it curly. I perm my hair, the perm makes it straight. But in terms of relationships, listen, we had dirty stinking relationships. We had mommy issues, daddy issues, sibling issues, feelings of not feeling good enough, not belonging, all those things. So that's why I brought you here, because you have an interesting background. And, you know, we hear a whole lot of Haitian Bahamian. We hear, wait, what this new one? Is it the paper Bahamian or something? Is it not
organic?
See, I don't even know. And you know, and I try not to know these things, believe it or not. Like, I try not to, because these things is be little do, or in the words of my former colleague, Kendall Thompson, little do do. It's be little do do. So all this stuff, and here you are, building your home. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to go all the way back, all the way back, through his journey, through the, because I have to ask you too, is Haitian Bahamian, is that really a term?
Some people say it is, and some people say it's not.
I like that. Anyhow. So. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes. Brittany,
we'll talk about that.
Take us to commercial break. We'll be right back.
Progressive Jackpot is on fire at Everybody Wins Live. First, a player won over $20,000 in cash. Then, another player took home over $30,000 in cash. That's more than $50,000 in jackpot winnings already. Now, the jackpot has reset and is growing again. With a minimum $10 bet, you could be eligible for the next big win. Lottery, casino, and sportsbook. Only at Everybody Wins Live, where winnings live.
Mic drop.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
Always on the go?
Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
And we are back, and in studio we are talking, or in studio with me today, I have Frankie Camille. I'm pronouncing it right?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Some people say Camille, all kind of. You got it right the first time.
Now you know we can mess up the name now.
Hey! Some people say Camille.
No, man.
My students say chameleon.
Listen, one of my friends messaged me now, she say, who I have in studio? Say, well, Lord, watch my friend get doing today.
Do me in. That's what I hear.
Yeah, man. But anyhow, before we went to the break, we were talking about Haitian Bahamian. Okay, Frankie, is this a term? Is this a real thing? What's Haitian Bahamian? Do you identify as Haitian Bahamian? Like when you show up and people say, hey, okay, hi, Frankie, introduce yourself. You say, hi, I'm Frankie Camille, I'm Haitian Bahamian. Like, how does this work?
No, I don't introduce myself as a Haitian Bahamian. But the term Haitian Bahamian, I guess it comes from the fact that there are persons that were born in the country mm-hmm. who are not from the country.
Right.
For example, my parents, they're not originally from the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Haiti. And so I was born into the territory. I was born in the Bahamas. And at age 18, I applied for citizenship.
Okay.
And I became a naturalized Bahamian citizen.
Right.
So although I'm a naturalized Bahamian citizen,
mm-hmm.
some of us still identify as Haitian because of our parentage, because who our parents are.
Okay.
Now, there are some Bahamians that would say there is no such thing in Bahamian because they don't want the two terms to collide.
Come together?
They don't want to associate
mm-hmm.
Bahamians with Haitians.
Okay, you think that's it?
I think that it's more of a cultural thing.
Okay.
All right, so culturally, some persons will not accept that idea. They don't accept, Haitian and Bahamian could be mixed, so to speak. Their thing is you're either Haitian or you are Bahamian.
Okay, like for me personally, when I see if someone says exactly what you just said, like in my mind, I'm like, this person is a Bahamian and they have Haitian parents. That's how I see it. Like, or okay, a gentleman I know from Belgium. He has kids here, he got married, have kids here. And for me, I'm not looking at these children as, oh, they're Belgian Bahamian. I'm looking at them like, oh, they are Bahamian. Or I met this couple, and where was the guy from? Oh my God, where was it? I think maybe the Philippines or somewhere. And so he was getting his driver's license here, and so he was proud to say this. He said, I have Bahamian children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't say Filipino Bahamian. He said, I have Bahamian children. So for me, if I meet someone and they say that, or even my friend, her dad is Jamaican, mommy Bahamian. I'm not seeing her as Jamaican Bahamian. I'm just seeing her as Bahamian.
Yeah. Legally, we're Bahamians, according to the law.
Right.
When I applied to become a police officer, and they asked me my nationality, I put Bahamian.
Right.
And because I was a Bahamian, they saw me as a Bahamian.
Right.
If they didn't see me as a Bahamian, then they was going to hire me to represent the Bahamas. So I served as a police officer because legally I'm considered to be a Bahamian. At the same time, my parents are of Haitian descent.
Right.
And so I still identify with who my parents are because that's part of my identity.
Right.
Okay. That's not to say I am not loyal to the Bahamas.
Okay. Because that's how most people
recognize
see it.
That I... Who I came from, I can't distance myself from where I came from.
Right.
And so legally, when we're in the Bahamas and we operate and we represent the government, we operate as Bahamians. Wherever I go, I operate as a Bahamian.
Okay.
If I go abroad, I operate as a Bahamian.
Have you ever been to Haiti?
I've never been there.
Okay. You speak Creole, don't you?
Yeah, I speak Creole.
Does your daughter speak Creole, by the way?
A little bit.
Why just a little bit?
A little bit. I never taught a Creole, per se, because I didn't want to go to school and be teased or be ridiculed. I didn't want her to get involved so much into this Haitian Bahamian thing. I just wanted her to grow up, you know.
But okay, and see, and that's the point right there. And I'm so happy that you opened that door, because yeah, there's a lot of people that I know. Like this dad is Haitian, really died now, and like I was convinced he didn't know Creole. Okay, I was like, you lying to me. I know you could speak Creole. Maybe he could. I don't know. But he said the exact same thing that you said just now. So he was like, I can understand if someone is speaking Creole, but I can't really speak it. I mean, I know a little bit, but not, you know, I know enough that I could have a little conversation, but not like what you're thinking. And so when I asked him too, well, how come, he said, and he said the same thing. He said, my dad did not want us to learn it because he said that he didn't want us to be discriminated against. He didn't want us to be bullied. He just didn't want us to go through that.
Right. So I didn't bother teaching her it, because then again, where we live, we're not amongst Haitians like that. And so unless I speak it to her.
Does she understand it?
You know, no, she doesn't understand it. She doesn't understand it. But surprisingly, she came to me and she said, Daddy, I want to learn Creole.
And how old is your daughter now?
She's 9 years old. And when she go to school, she said, my daddy is Haitian, I'm Haitian. She can't speak a lick of English, I mean, a lick of Creole.
Right.
But she is proud of who her father is. And one of my fears was that my daughter will grow up being ashamed of me.
Wow.
And because I thought that, you know, she would be ashamed of me one day, I said it would be best if I don't teach her Creole.
Thank you for being so vulnerable.
So that's the main reason why I didn't, to her friends, you know, why she's speaking Creole, why she knows this language, or, you know, I wanted her to find her own way.
Okay.
Be who she want to be. If she want to learn Creole, then I'll teach her it. But I wanted her to have her own life. I wanted her to be free from discrimination. And I want to protect her as much as I can. And sometimes, as parents, to protect our children, sometimes we deny them certain things.
So, okay. All right. So the fact that you're saying that says, or goes off in my mind, that you would have experienced that growing up, because, okay, I know you are 4 years old. And so, you know, now it's changing.
Yes.
I mean, it's still, of course, there's still a lot of stigmas, a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff. I don't, right now, listen, I don't even want to give out the phone number. But trust me, they're listening. Mm-hmm. They are listening. So, but you would have grown up in a time where, you know, hey, this wasn't something that you should be, quote unquote, and I have air quotes, be proud of. So let's go back to you as a child. What would you have seen? Because you say you didn't want your daughter to go through that.
No, I didn't want to experience what I experienced.
What did you experience?
Well, I grew up in the Haitian village. Joe Farrington Road is where I grew up. In the Haitian village, we spoke Creole.
Right.
So it was only until I went to school, Thelma Gibson Primary School, that I began to learn English.
Oh, really?
So I didn't know how to speak English until I entered the school system.
So this is like 5 years old?
From grade one.
Wow.
Grade five.
Okay.
So I'm in the village, literally in the bush.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to this government school. And for the first time I see, okay, I'm surrounded by other kids.
Uh-huh.
And these kids are speaking a different language that I'm not too familiar with.
But as a little person, you could remember like these feelings? You could remember?
Yeah,
like...
I remember.
Okay.
And I was confused too, because when I go to school, they speak in English. At home, we speak in Creole.
Mm-hmm.
And so some words got mixed up. When my mother said to do this, I said, okay, how do I interpret this? Do I interpret this in English or do I interpret this in Creole? What you need me to do? And so it took me a little while to get adjusted in terms of the language barrier. That's the first thing I had to overcome,
mm-hmm.
the language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And because I didn't speak English too well, I didn't understand what the teachers would say.
Wow.
So certain concepts I didn't understand. I didn't understand the math, the English. So I struggled all through grade 1, 2, 3, grade 4 is when I repeated. I repeated grade 4.
But what are the other children saying to you?
So I'd say, you need to go back to your country. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
What country?
I was lost. Okay. You know, as a child, I didn't understand the cultural dynamics
right.
of what's going on. Because socially, I thought, hey, all of us and children, we playing together. All of us are...
We're children, we're one.
Uh-huh. But they made it known that, hey, no, you're not one of us. You know, your people, y'all came here illegally. You know, y'all taking all of our jobs. And even the teachers used to say that, you know, these Haitians are coming to the Bahamas and they're taking all the jobs.
So, Frankie, you would hear adults say this to you and around you?
They would say that in class.
Well, this sounds familiar. This, the same gentleman that I was just talking about with his dad, I remember going to an event and his friends are talking and saying the same things. And I talking about this is close friends.
Yeah.
And so, and I right here, I just looking around because I was like, wait, hold on now. Y'all grew up with him and y'all know his daddy is Haitian.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't, I mean, this was election time. So this just was on.
Yeah.
And I mean, and they go into town.
Yeah. And then they were saying things like Haitians are violent and, you know, stay away from them. And there's a tease, you know, when you see the Haitian gardener with the little cutlass walking, they used to tease them. And it's literally say Haitian, okay, your Haitian self back to your country. But I didn't understand why I was treated different because in my mind, I didn't associate myself with Haitian.
Okay.
I became accustomed to where my environment. I was amongst Bahamian children. We played together, right. We talked together, we laughed together, we did everything together. But there was this dynamic that, hey, you're not equal to us.
Right.
You know, our parents and your parents
are not the same. Wow. Okay. Okay, very interesting. Okay, so... All right, so you go through school, and I'm assuming that your parents didn't speak English.
My mother was illiterate. She didn't go to school. She didn't speak a lick English at the time. But she was very adamant about me getting an education. I remember she sat me down as a young boy, and she said, you know, one of the things that I regret was the fact that my mother and father never put me through school.
So she never went to school?
She never went to school. And she said, Frankie, when you go to school... Don't you ever disrespect any of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And go to school, get an education. That's what she said to me. She said, don't disrespect nobody.
So in Haiti, she never went to school.
She never went to school.
So she couldn't even read in Creole.
She couldn't write nothing. And every afternoon I would come, she looked at my work and she would say, did you do your work? I said, yeah, I did it. And I don't know how she know. She must used to ask my sister if I did the right thing. But if I didn't do the right thing, she'll come and she'll cut my hip.
So I was just going to say, how is she?
I don't know. So she would beat me and say, you didn't do your work or that's wrong. I'm like, but you can't read though.
So what about your dad?
I grew up with my stepdad.
Okay.
But the interestingly is, although he was my stepdad, he was my real dad. But he said I wasn't his child. So he rejected me.
Hold on. Well, where was the daddy, your biological father?
My biological father was my stepfather who said I wasn't his child. He denied that I was his child.
But you sure he was your dad?
I look just like him. Twins.
So why he said that?
My mother never discussed that with me or told me, but I remember one day I was learning to write down my name and I wrote Frankie Dulcie because that was his last name. And my mother came to me one day and she said, "Would you write?" And I said, "I write my name, Frankie Dulcey." She said, "You're not a Dulcey." She said, "Your last name is Camille."
So whose last name is Camille?
And my mother.
Okay.
So I got her last name. She said, "Your last name is Camille." And then that's when she broke it down to me. And she beat me and she said, "Don't you ever call a man father again. He's not your daddy. You don't have a daddy."
Well, did he live in the same house as you?
Live in the same house with him. He hated me.
I confused.
He hated the day I was born.
Okay. Was he like this? Was your sister?
No. I was told. I grew up of five child. I was the last of five.
Mm-hmm.
My elder sister, she was in Haiti. And then I had three other siblings.
Okay.
And those three was his children. So I grew up with his children.
Not your mother's children? Were they your mother's children
yeah.
too?
Okay.
But I confused, Frankie.
Yeah, I was confused too.
Frankie's up here, right, man?
So when I was born, all of the kids, it was girl, boy, girl, boy. But by the time the fourth boy come, that was me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "That ain't my child."
Y'all could send me a text message 422-4796.
So when he said I wasn't his child, he treated me completely different from everyone else.
So
they got lunch money. They got $5 for lunch. I got $1 for lunch. He had a car. All of us live in the same house. Went to the same school. He used to pick them up. He used to drop them to school while I walked to school.
Frankie, it's something.
He used to pick them up.
Frankie, set me right.
From school while I walk home by myself. He said to me, they said to me, I must not sit on their couch. So I had to sit on, I grew up on the ground. They had beds to sleep on. I slept on the cold floor for 18
Why?
Years of my life. Because this man hated
Why?
Me
I don't understand said, this. Why?
I was not his child.
Well, something on him, he wasn't sure or something. Because this ain't normal, Frankie.
I would go out and everyone is to be saying, "Oh, you look just like your daddy. You look just like your daddy. You look just like your daddy. Why he lie? He lie. He lie."
So what would you call him? Would you call him daddy?
No, I never called him father.
Well, what did you call him? Or you just didn't call him anything?
I didn't call him anything. We didn't have a relationship like that.
Something is not right here.
And so from there, I then go to school and I suffer again. Another rejection. I find out, hey, I don't belong here neither.
So I was, wait, hold on. Let me read this text message that can't come through. And by the way, once again, guys, 422-4796 is the text line. I'm not saying the call-in line yet because I want Frankie to get his story out. Y'all know I always do this thing. But you could send me a message, 422-4796. And, of course, I don't know anybody's telephone number. You see, Brittany says she was messaging. I even know it's Brittany. But once again, 422-4796. All right, so someone messaged saying that sounds like projection. Frankie said he looks just like his father. Why got somebody calling and I just say don't call yet? I will bet you his father saw himself in this boy. He was riddled with self-hate. The boy was embodiment of him and he took it out on the boy. Okay, another message. It seems like Frankie's mom was unfaithful to the father, and though he may have been his, he was unsure. The mother may have never said or been ashamed to admit it. That's why I asking Frankie, I gotta ask these questions. Mm-hmm. You think maybe that's what I say, maybe something happened during when you were conceived, and he think that. And so there was some type of, or it could even be, like the person said, maybe he saw himself in you and that's a problem. I mean, you know, sometimes in this weird, crazy kind of way, I don't know. I know. Okay, so you're now being rejected at school and you were rejected at home.
I was rejected at home first.
So you were rejected at home. Mm-hmm. All right. Now I know mom is present. Did you receive love? Did anyone say I love you, Frankie?
No. The only time my mother ever said she loved me was one day I broke into the neighbor's
house one
car.
Mm-hmm.
And I stole some coins.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the neighbor saw me and told my mother, and my mother, she beat me really, really bad. Like,
oh,
with I used to get abused. I ain't gonna lie. I used to get beat bad. And I ran away.
Mm-hmm.
I just ran, and I ran. Police picked me up. Then we ended up at PMH. And then she came. And then
how old were you?
I was about 12.
And you say you ended up at PMH, so that's how bad you were beat?
Yeah, my skin was white because of all the... She beat me with a wire. So my skin...
Okay.
Well, I had broken. Cuts. Uh-huh. And, you know, when your cuts started to heal and stuff, so...
Okay, and 1 second. Someone message saying that you're not answering. Listen, text messenger, message person, maybe he does not know.
What do you want to know?
You know how we were saying that maybe something happened, like when with mommy and daddy. Parents don't tell children. There's a whole lot. Families hold secrets. I'm telling you, my mom passed, and I found out so many things about my mother after her passing. Things that she held very close to her that I never, ever knew. And my mom and I were very close. Families don't. Parent don't share, so children may not know certain things, guys.
Yeah, I believe in his mind, because I remember there was a time he said something pertaining to her cheating.
Okay,
believe in
it could be that.
In his mind, she cheated
during that time. Okay.
And I was the product of the
Well, you know, and even that, okay, let's say that you wasn't his, and I don't know, and you're a male, so I don't understand how someone could do that to a child. Like, I don't get how someone could, and maybe I don't get it because I'm not in that position, but the child did not do anything.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly what was in his mind, but I know for sure that he hated me with a passion.
Well, did he beat you? Because I know you said...
Yes, he beat me really bad.
So you used to get beaten from mm-hmm. both parents?
Both parents. Abused.
Now, how bad beaten are we talking about? Okay, so this time you're at the hospital. They take you to the hospital.
They take me to the hospital, and that's when she gave me a hug for the first time.
So at 12 was the first time your mother hugged you?
And she kissed me, and she said, I love you.
And that's the first time you would have heard your mother say that.
That's the first and only time she ever.
And listen now.
She said that to me.
Okay, Frankie parents are Haitians, from Haitian descent or from Haiti. I could tell you. I am telling y'all, and y'all who listening right now, if y'all want to tell the truth, many people have never heard their parents tell them they love them, or they maybe heard their parents say, I love you, maybe once or twice. I'm telling you. So this is, you know, we talking to him from his, this is his journey. But I don't want to say we, because one thing I could say now, my mom and dad, they said it, and I got some other issues with them. But them saying, I love you, was never a thing that I did not hear. And right now, guys, because you know this is a teachable, this show is about teaching you to change. Okay, many of you who listening right now, y'all need to go tell y'all children that y'all mm-hmm. love them. Many of y'all have not told y'all children that y'all love them.
Yeah.
So even if you guys text it, because I know sometimes that may not be something that you used to, so it's kind of hard to do. But showing love or doing anything that you're not used to doing is like a muscle. You got to work it. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Okay? All right. So I have a question. Boy, listen, I don't see this must be a 2-part series. I don't see this coming.
But not only did my father hate me, but that the hatred trickled down to my siblings as well. My brother, I remember he was in a gang. They called the Raiders Gang.
I remember that.
And he used to come home and beat me for lunch.
Your brother.
And dinner. I remember one time he took a size D battery. I think I still have the scar right here. the size of the battery.
Yeah, you still have the scar.
And he threw it in my face, and it hit me right between my eye right here. And I started bleeding. And I remember going to my mummy, and I said, I need help. And nobody helped me.
Oh, my God. Okay, we have a caller. Okay. Brittany's, I say, wasn't accepting no call, but y'all clearly want to share. Hello?
Hi, good afternoon.
Afternoon, you know, darling.
Story brings back memories for me, listening to him. My mother used to beat me plenty as a child. I thought she hated me. I ran away from home twice.
They was your mommy was Bahamian?
Yeah, she was Bahamian, but my mother came from a time when, this was, must be right after slavery, my mom born, because, you know, the Negroes at that time believed beating would fix anything. Okay. That's where that mentality came from, because the masters used to beat us and make us do things, and they saw the master do that and got the slaves, and that got the slaves in line. So my mother came from an era of, like she used to say, a bean will cure anything. The only thing it wouldn't do is bring you back from the dead. So as a result, that was her mentality. But as I got older, she and I spent more time together, I realized she really loved me. I believe if she wasn't as strict as she was with me, I wouldn't be who I am today. So that's a give and take situation. And I never said to my mother I loved her or my father. And I often sit down and think, I wish they were here so I could tell them.
Yes, sir.
I love them.
I have a question. You have children?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you tell your children that you love them?
No, and as a result, it passed down through me, that same mentality. Well, as a result, my children are not around me. Well, because I hear what people are saying about talking to your children, but my children are going to... These children today think you're supposed to bow to them and all of this, hear them out and all of this and that. And that. But you're not showing me anything you're doing for me to give you the kind of respect.
So-and-so.
I understand a lot where you're coming from. It brings back, it almost brought tears to me because I could put myself in this place.
Okay, thank you for calling. I want you to listen. Continue listening.
Yes, I am listening tentatively.
I'm going to respond to you right now. Okay.
I'm listening tentatively.
Thank you, my love. Thank you for calling. Okay. Okay, guys. Okay, here's the thing. Oh, my God. Oh, man. I want beat my head on this table right now. Listen. We have to break this mindset, guys. Now, I want to applaud you for calling. Thank you so much for sharing, because that took a lot for you to do. But we have to, see, these are generational curses. We have to shift the way that we do things and the way that we think. You were beaten, or you were not told that you were loved, right? Then now you do that to your children. And then what we do is we expect our children to do the work that we did not do. The children are not respecting us because we showed no respect. We did not cultivate a relationship, a healthy relationship, and it's not fair. We have to shift from saying that, oh, I'm the parent, or I'm the mommy, or I'm the daddy. No, because you mess it up. Mm-hmm. You, pardon my expression, I think I could say this. No, I ain't going to say that because the white is be listening. I was in the zone. But you, A, B, C, D, E, blank, G, it up. You cannot say that your children must come to you because you set it up. So it's incumbent upon you to fix it. We cannot look to the children to fix something that you have done.
Can I?
Yes.
I didn't know. Most of the times we don't even know the impact that the trauma of our child have on us. We think, especially as a man, we think we have it all together. And we think, okay, because now I'm a provider, I'm a father now, I'm taking care of my children, they have more than what I had. You know, they don't need love, they don't need affection or attention. But I had to learn from my daughter.
Yes.
And I believe that's why God blessed me, because I thought I was going to have a son. God said, no, you're going to have a daughter.
Lord of mercy.
I had to learn from Rania. Had to teach her daddy what it is to be affectionate.
Listen, men who are listening to this show, y'all ain't catch on. Y'all ain't notice that just about all the men that I have on this show who come on this show, and I intentionally do this because if I say it, y'all can say I just a bitter woman, or I, you know, whatever it is, these crazy things y'all say. I mean, two things could be right by you. But I bring men on this show because last week, Mr. Henfield came in and he was talking about providing for your children and not just providing money. The thing, I'll tell you all this, listen, everything, my dad is a great provider, and there's a lesson he's still learning and still ain't yet. Because the only one thing that we ever wanted from him is the time. That's it. Time. Love. Come on now. Come on, man. We need y'all. This way you're thinking, that did not work. And the only thing we doing, we raising children on survival mode. We're not raising them on love. We have to love our children. Today, guy, gentlemen, sir, you call the show. And you say it brought tears to your eyes. It almost brought tears to your children hurting. And even though I kid you not, men and women, as angry as they are, this is an easy fix. And you cannot wait for your children to do the work that you yourself did not do. You created this. You created the monsters. You have to do the work. You have to do the work. All kind of men inside the old folks' home. Plenty, plenty, plenty. Plenty. Come on. For the 10,000th time, the 10,000 ever done in my entire life, I am most proud being my daughter, Mommy. I love that black gal. I love her. Y'all missing out. You're missing out on love. And let me tell you something. When you see a daughter in particular love their daddy, when you see daughters, listen, you hear Frankie laughing because Frankie, you know the time. When you see daughters, like y'all ever, listen, the men who have their daughters around, y'all ever notice when somebody come miss and talk to you, the daughter, she could have been through aisle 24. And it's like she missing could sniff somebody get close to their daddy. All you see her come because, listen, she don't even want nobody touch her daddy. Children are your blessing. So I don't want to hear no foolishness talking about they got to be the ones. No, you mess up. And guess what? And it's okay to mess up, guys. I just mess up. I forever can tell my daughter sorry. But that's the most important relationship I got right now.
Yeah, I had to learn. I mean, I remember one time I was driving from school and Renia just reached out to hold my hand. And I'm like, what you reaching out for? What happened? She said, Daddy, I'll hold your hand. And I'm like, okay. And I held her hand. And when I held her hand, I was like, wow. I didn't realize how I don't initiate affection.
Yes.
Like I had to learn how messed up.
Yeah, and I was getting ready to ask you this.
I was.
Brittany, we got somebody calling passionate about this because then the only thing we doing, guys, this is why we don't have a young people problem. We have a parenting problem, guys. This is why our relationships are so messed up because our boys are angry. Our girls don't know what it is to feel safe around a man. They don't know what healthy love feel like. We see all these young girls who having sex and running away and all these things. I'm telling you, most of them don't have a father or father figure in their lives. Y'all are the pit bulls. Y'all rolling dudes out. When they complain around y'all daughter, y'all are the protection. Y'all set the tone for how girls, women supposed to be treated. You have to provide more than money. You have to provide love, affection. You have to be gentle with your children. Rough, hard, yes, but gentle too. Okay, Brittany, send the person through. What we got here now?
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
When I tell you, Stanya, you are hitting
a sore spot for many of us as men. However, I do believe that there is just a slight generalization because I find ourselves in unique circumstances. And I wanted to ask you and base it from a biblical standpoint. In the book of Ezra, there's a scripture, Ezra chapter 10, verse 10, where God said, "Well, men, you have gone and created this great trespass against me, but you have gone and taken on these foreign wives, and you have born children with them." And God commanded the men to put away those women and the children. And further on down in that very same scripture, he explained to the men that if you keep the children even, you will also keep the judgment from those relationships and cause you trouble in that process. I use that as a base, as a scriptural base, okay, just to state that there are some unique circumstances,
right,
where as fathers, men have done abundantly all that they possibly can. But when the children are born of either the scorn or some trauma, like you explained, and that just is what it is, and there's nothing you can do other than to trust God and hope for the best in the end, what do you do? Because it's not in all circumstances, I believe, that it's you did something wrong. Because what if you did something wrong at some point and you decided to fix what you did wrong, but then you watch the degradation of the force it?
Okay. Okay, so...
So in some instances, as fathers, mm-hmm, it means you just did wrong and you got to, you know, so it help us out in some other way. And I'm coming to see you on Monday about this, Tanya, because we can continue this national conversation. We can help our people in our country through this. Because I've long been saying we have a parenting problem on our hands in our country, mm-hmm, and generationally. And the only way we can fix our country is to fix being in family, fix our people. And we have to get back to our foundation.
Okay. I'm trying to catch this voice. You don't want to come see me on Monday. Okay.
I just saw you at your office recently.
Who is it? That's why I ain't to that office no more anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. But I'll find you on Monday. This is a phenomenal conversation that, okay, you're having. Very timely and worthwhile to the Bahamian family.
Thank you so much, sir.
As we approach our independence.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling. Okay. Okay. Well, he said a mouthful, definitely. One of the things that I do want to say is that, yeah, I agree with him. Of course, everything is different. I mean, this is in a one box. Everybody. Hey, okay. I know just who that is. Hey, someone say they know your voice. Bam. Okay, this is not a one-size-fit-all. But, you know, I like to say we're talking about horses, not zebras. Because, you know, we see the horse all the time. We know the zebra exists, but we don't always see it. But with regards to what you said, yes, there are situations. And if you listened to the show last week, you know, I talked about how there are a lot of mothers who contribute to this. So in the case of that, the men that I've spoken to, the only thing that they do, they bide their time. One guy said that he tried to give her money for the child. And this woman was so terrible. She didn't even want the money. She said no. Okay, that time, and at that time, this woman passing dead bad. But the anger didn't take over. So what the dad started to do, he said he opened up a bank account. He wanted to open it with his daughter, but he didn't have access to her. So he just opened a bank account and he said he just throw money on the account. And the account is there for when she's able to get away from her mother. If you listen to the show, Paradise Abaco, he came on, his daughter was on before. The daughter said too that, you know, she was thinking her dad was one way. And when I asked her what made the difference, she said, "Daddy never let me go. Daddy kept showing up." So at some point, the child will know. In those cases, I'm not talking about those cases. I'm talking about cases where we need to do the work. I'm not talking to the men who have not done the work, guys. Okay? And I love the men who do the work. Big up all the good daddies. and not only just the good daddies, but the good father figures who make a way show and show young girls and young men how to be a good man. Okay. Okay. Back to you, Frankie. Now, you said, Frankie, I didn't see you coming on the show again because it's 2:05. And you know, Brittany has cut me off. But okay, now, your brother, you said your brother. And by the way, guys, I can still see, I can see the scar on Frankie. So it's right there. How, like, this, how, like, what's the age difference with you and your brother?
He's about 5 years.
Okay.
Older than me.
So if you were 12, he would have been like 17, 18. So he would have been a grown guy. All right. So he's abusing you too. Who else?
My elder sister as well.
Are they abusing the other, like their other siblings, or is it primarily
you?
No,
I was the youngest, I was the last.
So pretty much they followed what the parents were doing.
Yes.
So, okay, so for me, in my mind, I'm thinking that that could make a child a very angry child.
Yeah, I was angry, I was suicidal at age 12. I tried to commit suicide.
At 12?
At 12.
Why? I mean, well, we know why.
It was too much. It was abuse after abuse. He would come home. My stepfather would come home and just attack me. Certain privileges I didn't have. I didn't have the privilege of using the head cable. What my brother used to do was he used to ensure that the channels can only go on. Then I wouldn't be able to watch the TV, or he would hide the remote. I couldn't sit on a chair because he said that's his daddy chair. So I had to sit on the ground. So.
And you see this?
Didn't have a bed. So upstairs, the whole family slept upstairs in their bedroom. I was the only one sleeping downstairs on the ground by myself. Sometimes it would rain and I would get wet. Sometimes cockroach would crawl up in my ears and I would get air infection.
So, but hold on. I just want to stick a pin because, see, I got to make these connections now. You see, what you said about your siblings. Okay. The siblings take on the anger of the parent. There are situations even that I've seen. Okay. They watch the parents abuse Frankie. And now they are abusing Frankie. This is what happens, guys. And not only that, let's say now, when we said that, okay, it could have been a situation where there was some cheating allegation or what have you. Let's bring it home. I've seen situations where, okay, let's say it's the mother, the daddy. Well, we could go with the mother. The mother had another child, right? She was cheating. There was infidelity. Or there was some concern, a big question mark over this child. And so the father now is treating the child very differently from the other children in the house. And the other children now take on the anger of this parent, because now you break up mommy and daddy. It's you. And now they are now mean to this child. This is how these little sibling crazy things happen. And it's bad because now we are abusing people who are related to us. You just don't do that. So, okay,
and
Frankie.
You know what? It wasn't just the abuse. It was as if I wasn't even a part of the family. I remember, it's kind of painful talking about it and trying not to cry, but I remember they had a family album, you know, photos. And I remember looking through the photos and I see a family picture.
Mm-hmm.
I see my stepdad, my mommy, I see my siblings, but I don't see me. And I'm saying, okay, maybe I wasn't born yet. And I said, no, that's a recent picture. And said, everyone had baby pictures. Everyone had pictures of family pictures.
Right.
I was part of the family, but there was not a single image.
Oh, my God.
Of me. Up to this day, I don't have a single...
You don't have a picture of you as a baby?
Picture of me as a baby or a child.
Oh, my God. So what does that even feel like?
I feel rejected. And then when I went to school, you know, the students say, well, you're not behaving, so.
So Frankie,
you don't belong here.
Now, okay, usually, God always have like, what did it say, the ram in the bushes or in the thicket. Somebody had to have been nice. Think about somebody in the village who was nice, or someone at school, a teacher, a guidance counselor, a fellow student, the neighbor down the street, uncle.
Thelma Gibson, I met, we had a computer teacher. His name was Mr. Higgs. And I met him. I used to be in class. And he's like, why you don't have no lunch? I said, no, I don't have no lunch. So he used to, you know, make sure I eat. And he said, you need help with your schoolwork, whatever the case may be. And he used to help me with my schoolwork. Then he invited me to church. I became a part of the church. That's when I started going to church.
So, okay, so this is primary school?
Yeah,
so
Ebenezer Methodist. So I was part of the church. Mr. Higgs was a Caucasian. He is a Caucasian. So he ended up being like my father figure or my dad.
That's what I'm saying. There's always someone to show up.
Yeah, so he took me in and he invited me. You know, that's the first time I saw, like, white people, per se. So he invited me. He wasn't married. So he invited me to his mother and his sister. And he's like, this is Frankie. This is, you know, my
Where
son.
Was he from?
He was from Spanish
Wales?
People from Spanish Wales.
Oh, okay.
Higgs.
The same Mr. Higgs who ended up going to Queens.
This is
a warm, fuzzy feeling. Go on.
He ended up, you know, really pushing me. Helping me my schoolwork, my projects, you know, really, really being there for me. Clothes, I didn't have no clothes. He used to literally give me his clothes to wear.
So Frankie, now you say you had all these siblings. None of them was nice, like, at the time?
No.
Do you have a relationship with them now?
Now, no.
They in Nassau? You don't even know.
I think one of them in Nassau. One of them in Nassau.
Let me see what these text messages are. I ain't even signed up for a list today. I ain't even know all this was coming. And this is now. Okay, I think... What? Think they should say is sorry. I learned how to tell my son sorry. Yes, yes. Listen, even in working, that's another thing. See, tell it to Stanley, we're doing all kind of things. Working in the workplace. And this is a story for another day, so I just got to touch it lightly. Working with a leader, a manager, and I was telling them that, I said, you could fix this, you know. And they looking at me and they was like, how? I said, you just have to apologize. And they said, apologize to the staff, there's the staff. And I said, this and da-da-da-da-da, and back and forth and da-da-da. I said, oh, no, you're too far gone. Okay, carry on smartly. Sometimes that's the easiest thing. It ain't easy sometimes. So what I'm saying is that that's a fix. And even though you say sorry, they may not be receptive of it, but you're breaking down the wall. Okay, a drip. And let me tell you all now, you got to be prepared. See, and I noticed something with y'all minds them now. I noticed something now. Y'all wreak the havoc, but y'all can't deal with the building it back up. And what I need you to understand is that you're going to come against with your children. They mad. So when you come, because see, all that time they wanted your love. And now you want their love. So now you got to endure that and you got to take it. And you got to take it if you want the relationship. You got to take it. We doing this show today. And I kid you not, I know we was going down this road. I tell you, I saw Frankie talking about how excited we want to come talk about the Bahamian dream. I didn't even notice where we was going today. But I'm talking to you today. If you have a broken relationship with your children, this is a flashing sign. And see, and I so hot. Listen, he is of Creole descent. But the people who call the show today, I assume, of Bahamian descent. This is why I open the show when I say we are more similar than different.
I say we're human first.
Yes. Yes, guys. Come on. This is the flashing neon sign to reach out to your children. This when you say, I'm sorry. I don't know. I didn't know how to be a father or mother. I don't know. But I want to say sorry. This is the flashing sign right now to text your child. You can start with one little text and say, I love you. I know mommy ain't said it in a long time, or maybe I never tell you that. But I just wanted to tell you I love you. Sometimes daddy don't know how to say it. But I just want to tell you I love you. Daddy ain't grow up like that, I know. But today I did want you to know. Man trod on me, man. Say he was listening to tell it to Stanio. He was listening to the radio today. Come on. This is how we heal. We heal one step at a time. One word at a time. Our children need us. A lot of us, we grow up on survival mode. The gentleman who called earlier, he said he spoke with his mommy and he said, mommy, and then mommy, oh, mommy love. But see, this just it though. Love don't look like how people. Love, because now you're trying to teach me that love is being mean. You teaching me that love look like cut hip. And this why you go in relationships and then we think that it's normal to cuss out each other. We think it's normal because that's the way we grew up and it's not normal. It's toxic. And once again, guys, I'm telling you, I done messed up a million times. And I'm not talking to the parents who had to cut their children off, because some of these children, they really, y'all be doing too much. The gentleman who called, you done do this, you done do all the work. I ain't talking to that crew. Anyway, let me read this. What this message is now? Any message here? It's your life. Like when you always be quiet. That's how I know you always be listening. What is it now? What is it? What is this now? I ain't reading that one. I ain't moving on. Okay. Okay, Frankie. It's 2:18. We only got a couple. Frankie, you have to come back on again.
Yeah.
You have to come back on. Okay, so because we only the primary school.
Yeah, we're
only
primary school.
And listen, and we got we sending a shout out to Mr. Higgs for standing in the gap and for teaching you, for showing you love and not abusing the situation, because we got predators out here too.
Yeah.
So we are thankful to people like that who show up. And see, listen, I didn't tell you all. When you see man come on the scene, child, listen. This is like we're talking about this lady we know. And I say, boy, she like man, boy. But child, I like man too. I ain't lying. When you see man come on the scene and take over and doing your thing, we need y'all, man. For true. Seriously, we need healthy. We need y'all healthy. That's what we need.
So around the same age, remember I told you they were basically being taken care of. I remember this another thing that happened. I remember every now and again my mommy used to go to Miami, and she used to bring back gifts. And some stuff to sell, because she was like a business lady too. And I remember she brought all of the siblings like these rings, chains, gold chains.
Mm-hmm.
And every time she would go, she would get them gold chains with the thing. And I never got one. And it hurt me so bad up to this day. Up to this day, I don't wear jewelry. I don't wear chains.
That's right, because you got on your three-piece suit. Child, listen, and he got on all his clothes today, by the way. I ain't seen no... I haven't got that on. That's right. He ain't got on nothing, y'all.
And so that, you know, that pain is still...
It's real.
It's still with me. And I made a decision that, you know, probably this year I'm gonna buy a chain.
You're gonna buy a chain.
I'm gonna buy a chain.
So Frankie, okay, and guys, see, let's I inject in your psychology into y'all. Now, how y'all think a child who grew up like this, who's not, they don't know what it feels like to be touched in a healthy way. They don't know what it is to hear a kind word. They have been beaten from the places where they should be safe. The people who should be safe. When or not, it's the mommy, the dad, the siblings, school. How do you now think this person views themselves and they view the world? This person is going to be have trust issues. This person is going to have self-esteem issues, anger issues. There's a whole lot of stuff. And see, there's this thing that I like to say, you got to give your mama back her stuff and give your daddy back their stuff. That's what the people who I work with. Because the stuff that we have and that we are carrying does not belong to us. Frankie was, he was a product of parents, of his parents' stuff.
Yeah, and I was full of violence. It took me long to forgive. That affected my marriage. That affected my relationship. On that, I really discovered how
it really did affect you.
How distant I was, because I thought, you know, I'm a good husband because I take care of my wife. I'm a good father because I take care of my daughter. But it was only until, because my daughter is very, very affectionate.
That's what God is doing. God is meant to do
she
that.
She is extremely affectionate. I'm like, why this girl all up underneath me? I need my seat. You know, I'm not used to that.
God is meant to do that.
I need my space. Uh-huh. Why you all up, you know? But that's just the kind of, I had to learn. That's just her. She
craving it.
She, yeah.
And she love her daddy.
She's very affectionate. She'll hold my hand. Yes. Even if we go out to the food store. We hold our hand. I have to hold our hand going in the store.
Man, you better listen. They get a little crazy when they get older. I have to now. I just wait till my daughter's sleeping, and that's when I just kiss her right up because she don't be on my run. I say I need a T-shirt. Parents need love too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to, you know, I had to learn to
love.
To love. You know.
So okay. So hold on, Frankie. All right. So how? I don't understand how you have to come back, because I don't understand how you went from this person into the person that you are today. Yeah. And honestly, even, you know, yeah, we met, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And even then, when I think about it, and I was thinking about it as we was walking up, you have grown even from then. Huge. So, okay. So how, I just need to see. It's done 2:23.
Yeah, we ain't got enough time. But I would say this. We started talking about, earlier we started talking about the concept of Haitian Bahamian.
We didn't go on. We
but it had a lot to do, it, mm-hmm. my growth had a lot to do with that same concept. Because my growth and my process and my fact that, hey, there were some Bahamian teachers and administrators
right.
who didn't see me as a foreigner.
What did they, how did they see you?
They are the ones who really accepted me for the first time, that you're one of us.
Right.
And they invested in me. And because of that, I was able to, you know, grow. And I was able to see society from a different vantage point. Because, yes, there are some persons that say there's no such thing as Haitian Bahamian and you're not Bahamian. But that's not everyone.
Right.
There were some educators that invited me. I got adopted by 3 Bahamian mothers.
So you had all kind of mommies. See, when I tell you, listen, one...
And each one of them had a certain...
A standard or...
Standard or growth in terms of what I learned and what I discovered. Ms. Grimes, she took me in, and she...
What did you learn or what did you get from her?
She was the person that made sure I go to school. She paid for my education, my degree at the University of Bahamas.
Are you serious? This was a teacher?
This was an administrator at Doris Johnson Senior High School.
What her name is?
Ms. Grimes.
Say, listen, I calling off these names too, and I calling off these names.
Yeah, Ms. Grimes.
These the people y'all, I see y'all got the 30 under 30 and 40 under 40 people, and the 40 people who making a difference. Man, I talking about real people. Real people.
Then I had...
Who else we got?
I had Minister Samantha Wells.
Oh, that's my counselor. Samantha Wells. I know Sam. Yes.
She's a guidance counselor.
And her husband is a guidance counselor too. Yes.
They took me in. I'm their adopted son as well.
For true?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I had Demetra Rowe.
Okay.
And she's at the Ministry of Education now. I think she's the first secretary at the Ministry of Education.
Okay.
And she was the one that mentored me and taught me, you know, what it is, you know, about women and how I should treat my wife. And she basically was the one that, you know, when I strayed away, she was able to say, you know, no.
Stop your foolishness now.
So she was that one. And so it took Bahamians, not Haitian.
Okay.
It took Bahamians who saw something in me to really, really push me to where I needed to go because I was angry. When I applied at the Ministry of Ed, when I applied to go to UB, at that time I had no passport.
See,
Miss Grimes made me apply. She said, "You go into college." I said, "I don't have a passport. I ain't got no money. Why am I applying to UB?" She said, "No, you will go to UB." And I said, "You don't understand. I don't have no passport." So, she said, "Apply."
Hey, hold on, because we done only got 4 minutes here. But hold on now. I got to ask this question. Are your mom and dad in the land of the living?
My dad's still alive. My mom passed away 2019.
Okay, so by 2019, though, because we haven't... Because you done had all kind of different professions. Not all kinds, but
yeah,
I mean... But you've been alive to see you now transform and transition.
Yeah, she
so alive. Did she ever say, like, "I'm proud of you," or "Frankie, sorry," or?
She never said it, but based on her actions, because I was the one that was with her through it all.
What do you mean?
Because she got sick.
Oh, I see.
And when all of the other children wasn't around, the one that, you know, I showed up. I was there for her.
Boy, listen, see, is this another flashing red light or flashing neon sign? You talk about the Bible, but they talk about the stone that the builders reject. That's the most important thing. Life is a funny, weird thing. You got to be careful because these same children disregard and doing one big bunch of foolishness with, these are the ones who probably may have to take care of you, because I kid you not, I've seen it again and again. They said that you pour and invested money into, they be the same, like, they don't be the set who take care of you. I've seen it even with the children who was a product of infidelity. The children who the daddy was loving up and all that, the same one who ain't his child is the same one who actually want to do everything for the father. I've seen it again and again. It's a weird thing. I feel like God really have an interesting sense of humor. Okay, but you know, we're gonna have to end today. I see someone message or text message and say, "You are absolutely correct, Miss Davis. Educators are the real unsung heroes." Yeah, man. These are life teachers along the way, and there's other life teachers that show up along your way. Somebody, and you always have to go towards the light, guys. And you know, we definitely need Frankie to come back, because we need to understand how you get built in house. That's what. How you going? You ain't got no passport to build a house. We need that story. So we're going to be back. But yeah, man, I have to talk with these unsung heroes, because I tell you, I see all the other, what do you say, 40, the 40 and the 40 and the 30 and the 30 who doing big things. They ain't doing a thing. All they doing is fluffing about the place and they popular. They ain't doing a thing. That's what we's be into, fluffing, doing a bunch of y'all know what. But anyhow, this is Brittany last day here, and it's done 2:29. She'd be in a little nice, because she ain't give a 5 cent right now. She out, you see, boy? Disgusting. But guys, listen now. If y'all want to be a part of Tell It to Stanley too, if you want to share your story, I'd be so scared to put my phone number on here. But y'all who's called me, and y'all know I'd roll y'all right out. I'd roll y'all right out. So from you call me and you're doing fool, or you're a TT and a Kiki in, I got your block. But trust me, I nicer on the air than in person. Okay? So I'm going to give this number. You calling me or messaging me for nothing outside of what I want you message me for. Thanks. So if you have a story that you would like to share, or if you want life coaching services as well, I do work with families. Unfortunately, I was the product of divorced parents here. And I work with women. We have a bunch of good stuff coming up, actually, believe it or not. And something big is coming outside of Tell It to Stanya. So I want you to message me, 451-6767. And if you want to sponsor the show, too, because this is a good show. See, Frankie's shaking his head. This is a great show. And even if you ain't got no business and you just want to put something on, Tell It to Stanya Bill, that's good, too. It's a Bahamian ice. It's getting big. That's right. But the telephone number, 451-6767. Definitely, if you want to be on the show, if you have a story, or if you right now is you're going through something, I do offer services. Frankie, you're going to have to come back. Yes. The story is not done. I sure when, because I have someone coming in next week and I need to look at, because I try to plan now. I do better now. But guys, I just want you to think about everything that we shared today. And if you are a father or mother and you know the relationship is not a good one and you know that you have contributed to it, come on now. You're the leader. We ain't waiting for the children. You are the leader. They will respect you. You want to lead in everything else, but you ain't want to lead in forgiveness. You ain't want to lead in love. Come on now. Come on. Come on, parents. Come on, mommy. Come on, daddies. Come on now. And this one thing I'd say, you, because you bring up the Bible, boy, I gotta get it now. I gotta hurry up now. In the Bible, when we talk about men leading, I want y'all to look at the men who were leading. They wasn't no jokey people. Look at the men that the women submitted to. It was never a jokey. King Solomon, King David, Boaz. These was people who was doing things. So, man, y'all say y'all is the leaders, but in the Bible, we got to look deeper than the surface. Look at the men who the women were submitted to. I can leave that thought with y'all. It's been real. I am she. She is me. We out of here. Brittany, we love you.
This